Gun control, the Second Amendment, and the Supreme Court. That's our topic for this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and right now our guest is Dr. Adam Carrington. He's a professor at Hillsdale College, and in fact, he's an assistant professor of politics. He's written a piece recently basically asking the Supreme Court of the United States to speak up on the Second Amendment. Dr. Carrington, welcome to the program. Good to have you on.
Great to be with you, Jerry. Thank you.
Sure. And let's lay the foundation. In 2008, the U.S. Supreme Court had the D.C. versus Heller decision, D.C. v. Heller. Explain that decision, and because that's kind of the foundation of what we're going to talk about.
Yes. Strangely, it took till then for the Supreme Court to directly ask a question that is part of the Second Amendment debate going back well before that, which is, does the Second Amendment protect a individual right to own a gun or a state right to have a militia? And what the court decided by a 5-4 vote was that it was the former, that the Second Amendment protected an individual right to own a gun and that it was grounded ultimately in the concept of self-preservation, the ability to protect one's life, liberty and property against intruders or against anyone that might threaten it.
Okay. The Constitution guarantees the right of people to keep and to bear arms. Okay, now obviously there's a huge gun debate and there's this, all this back and forth. Before we get into the focus of your particular piece, what are your remarks about some of the things that have been said in the wake of Parkland?
Well, I think that one of the difficulties in the wave of it is, in the wake of it, is the issue of just how emotionally charged it is. No one wants something like this to happen. At the same time, I think there's been some difficulty, as there is after many of them, to ask the question, what actually addresses the particular tragedy that happened this time, instead of looking to just ban certain guns or certain regulations or to do so for certain people. I think there's after this tragedy, as after others, there hasn't been the attempt to say what actually touches on the specifics of this case rather than what we would like to see more generally. So I think that's something that I think could be better when we have these kind of tragedies.
You know, it's interesting. I was talking to a conservative friend of mine, and he said, you know, it's so amazing. In this particular case, it seems like the authorities failed us at every single step. You know, there were the warnings, there were the multiple visits, couple dozen visits, to the guy, the man who later was the shooter, to his home, because of complaints by the police to investigate. And of course, you can't arrest somebody for a crime they have not yet committed, but there were the tips, and then there were the deputies that came to the school but didn't go in. And it's just one thing after another, and in 6 minutes this shooter managed to, you know, disrupt all these people's lives and kill 17. And by the way, I still am touched by the story of the football coach who apparently ran towards the bullets to, you know, basically use his own body as a shield to protect students. And I heard that there were other people who did that as well, maybe some ROTC students that, you know, were heroic that day to try and prevent, you know, others from taking the bullets.
No, and those are great points that show that maybe gun regulations aren't the only question we should be asking, or the only thing that we should be highlighting. So the second thing you said is we should be highlighting the great bravery that a number of people showed above and beyond what might be expected of them. Just truly heroic. You know, heroes aren't dead in the sense of there are still people willing to stand up and do these things. But the other point you made is actually an excellent one as well, that we did see systematic failures of law enforcement from the federal level down to the state and local level. And I think that when we ask, if we're going to ask for the government to be able to regulate guns to a certain extent, that can only be the case if they themselves are responsibly taking some steps to protect us. and the idea that you wouldn't allow people to protect themselves with firearms if the law enforcement itself is going to fail so systematically makes that, I think, a weaker argument even for gun regulations themselves.
Okay, so now let's get to the essence of your piece. And you feel that basically in 2008, the Supreme Court, made their decision about the Second Amendment, and then they kind of basically said, essentially, stay tuned, we'll have more rulings down the line, and here we are 10 years later, and those rulings haven't come forth. Is that kind of the essence of what you're saying?
Yes. I mean, they did in 2010 say that in McDonald versus City of Chicago that the Second Amendment also applied to state laws. They did clarify that. But beyond that, they left all sorts of questions that if this is a right, but it's not an absolute right, there are limits to who can have a gun, what kind of gun, and where they can have it. If those still can be in place, they didn't really say what those limits should or could be. And I think where that's been a problem is that lower courts have kind of gone all over the place with this. Some have allowed broader gun protection. Some have allowed much, much stricter gun regulations. And if this is a right protected by the people, and at the same time, if government has the power to regulate this to some extent, I think that this lack of clarity that the court has left leaves people's liberty and safety in a kind of doubt that the court itself claimed it wasn't going to leave us with.
Okay, now some issues have come up because of these recent shootings, not just the one in Parkland, but the one in Las Vegas and so forth. Well, okay, the one in Las Vegas specifically, the issue of bump stock. I think I'm saying that right. I'm not into guns myself, but anyway, there's some absolutists where it's like, oh, if the government tries to, provide any kind of regulations related to guns, all of a sudden, no, you're violating the Second Amendment. Then, of course, you have the other extreme where it's like, take away the guns, and the kids, and I can understand their frustration. They're going to be having a huge march later in the month of March of 2018 on DC to, get rid of the guns and so forth. And it's like, wow, this is, and in the confusion there's a lot of extremes. But go ahead and comment on any of this if you wish.
Sure. And I understand the children's response, right? I can't say I personally do, but I can see you just watched your friends killed by guns. At the same time, I think we need to think about long term, what are the principles we're trying to uphold, and what is the best for the life of and liberty of all involved? And you're right, there's a tendency to go to extremes, but I think the Constitution itself doesn't allow that. Even free speech has its limits as to what you can say and do. And if that's the case, I think the idea that There aren't reasonable ways to say how you can use guns and what instances you can use guns, even what kind of guns, denies the fact that government can't act in some ways to protect our safety. On the other end, though, I think just as the court said, you have to say that if this is a right that's based in the ability of individuals to protect themselves from intruders or protect themselves from other threats, you have to then try to balance that with those kind of protections as well. And a thing I try to say in my piece is that these sides shouldn't be as far apart as they sometimes seem, because in some ways they're doing the same thing if they're doing what they say they want to do, which is both want to protect the right to life, and both gun regulations and protections of gun rights, if done right, I think can be part of that unified goal of protecting what the Declaration of Independence says is an inalienable God-given right, the right to live.
Sure. Now, I take it the Supreme Court never dealt with the issue of the age of gun ownership, right?
Not directly. What they did was they actually said, and I quote this piece from Heller, that Justice Scalia, he said, all we're really deciding authoritatively is that there is an individual right to own a handgun and you can't outright ban it. he said there'll be plenty of time to talk about other things, and he mentions offhand age restrictions, type of weapon restrictions, place restrictions, could people with mental illnesses or convicted felons, could they be banned or restricted? He says, I'm not saying those aren't right, but I'm also not going to say whether they are. We'll just take care of it later. So again, they claim the basic right, but then the devil is in the details. How do you, what does that right mean if you don't fill out the particulars of it? I've compared it before to, if someone's in owns a car, and someone says, we have the right to own a car, but we're going to pass regulations saying you can't drive it between 11:59 and 12, you can't put gas in it, and, oh, by the way, you can't open the door to start it. That causes serious problems for the right to actually use a car, and really the court didn't specify, beyond the right to own a gun, whether the whether government could regulate it up to that point or not.
All right. So how do you feel the president is handling it? I know it's a different issue, but since we're talking about the three branches of government, right now we've been focusing mostly on the Supreme Court. But President Trump has actually received criticism on both sides of the debate. But it seems to me he's just trying to listen and, provide some common sense solutions.
Yeah, I think that on one hand, the fact that he's been willing to listen before coming down with hard, fast ideas is actually refreshing both for the political process and for he himself. I think that's not a bad thing. I do wonder about his comment I know he made the other day about how I'd like to take the guns first and give due process second.
Yeah. That's always scary.
Yeah, and on one hand, maybe he was just thinking out loud. Mm-hmm. At the same time, I know let's just be honest, if President Obama had said that, we gun owners would be very, very, very concerned, because if you don't have due process, if you don't have a process that guarantees first convicting someone before taking a gun away, giving them some sort of legal protections before the government just acts, then gun rights are in serious, serious trouble. So that I think on one hand, the listening is a good sign. That comment is something that I think would be something to worry about if he were to act on it without modifying it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think he just sort of does that sometimes, just sort of, like you say, thinks out loud. Okay, now let me ask you this. I see signs sometimes saying this is a gun-free zone, and I'm not one who's personally into guns, but whenever I see those signs, I cringe a little bit because I think, oh no, that makes it dangerous for all of us, because basically the law abiding will abide by the laws. And if you say you can't have guns here, okay. But then the criminals, they don't care what the laws are. And, you look at Chicago, they have a very strict gun control laws, and it's a very dangerous city as far as guns, because the bad guys are the ones with the guns, not the good guys.
Yeah, and I think with that, whatever the court would say about it, if they ever, if the Supreme Court ever took that case, I think you're delving into why historically there was a right to keep and bear arms, or at least one of the reasons, and that is that criminals will commit crime even if it's against the law. They will do so sometimes with deadly force, and the police will not always be able to get there to stop them from doing the crime. And what are you to say to individual citizens who are law-abiding but may not at that moment, when they're confronted in an alley or in their home in a home invasion, there might not be time for the police to show up? What are you asking of them? What are you demanding of them that might be out of line with the very point of government, which is, like I said before, to preserve one's life, liberty, and property?
Hmm. All right, Dr. Adam Carrington of Hillsdale College, hillsdale.edu, for more information. Thank you, sir.